Welcome, everybody, to the Boca in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. I'm joined by Francisco Aude from Buenos Aires. Fran, how's everything?
Hello, Gabe. How are you, my friend? Hello, everyone around the world.
I'm also joined by Facundo Salazar from Miami. Facu, how's everything, my friend?
Hi, Gabe. Hi, Fran. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
I'm doing excellent. Here in New York, like I was telling you guys right before we started recording, it's starting to get warmer. So that's good. I don't mind the cold weather. In fact, I feel more comfortable in the cold weather, but I also do enjoy, you know, the warm and outdoor activities and summer activities. So, you know, we're just anticipating the summer arriving here finally. I know Francisco is on the flip side. They're probably towards the tail end of the summer. Is that right, Fran?
Yeah, I've read, at least here in Buenos Aires, I've read that we are going through the last hot days. We have a sort of a benchmark, which is 30 Celsius degrees, which is the maximum that we can tolerate in Buenos Aires. Beyond that, it turns really hard to tolerate. Buenos Aires is a big city with lots of buildings, and walking in the downtown or wherever you are very exposed to a very intense hot.
Yeah, when especially the temperature in the city, all the big buildings. Yeah,
exactly. And apparently, we have no more 30 Celsius degrees days for the rest of the year, I guess, at least until the winter ends.
Exactly. So without further ado, this podcast is going to be split up into three sections, I guess we could say. The match against Claypole, which we're barely going to touch on. We're obviously going to touch on the huge win against Vélez, and then a little bit of preview of the Superclásico. I don't know how much you guys want to go ahead and give your thoughts on the match against Claypole. I don't even have a starting 11. I don't remember what the starting 11 was. In the app that I use here, they don't even have it. But all I can really say, Boca came out 2-1 winners after going down by one. The first half an hour of that game, and I know you guys will agree with me because we even talked about it in the group. The first half an hour, I mean, that just can't happen from a professional football team. It's not that Claypole were necessarily better than us. I mean, they outplayed us by far, no question, the first half an hour. But it was more so the lack of intensity from Boca, which, again, I sound like a broken record. But the lack of intensity, the lack of just everything, not running, not, you know, chasing the 50-50 balls, Claypole absolutely outplayed us within the first half an hour. Not only did they score in the 29th minute, but they went out with absolutely every bit of energy they had. They won four corner kicks. They were combining with a bunch of players in the final third. They were getting a couple shots on goal. And that was actually being worked. And again, this is the first half hour, because we have to remember this is a fourth division side who, after all this energy, came crashing down and they couldn't keep up that momentum. Boca ended up figuring things out. Bija equalized in the 35th minute. And then Maroni, who ended up coming in the second half, scored the winner in the 76th minute. I don't know what you guys want to add to the match, but that's basically all I have. I guess I'll take it to Fran first.
Well, Gabe, this is something that has happened and periodically, correct me if I'm okay.
Yeah, that's
from
correct.
Time to time. Yeah,
yeah,
from
it's time happened. To time. It's happened before. Yeah,
with many other it has teams. Happened. Exactly. Claypole is a team that was promoted from the fifth to the fourth tier of Argentinian football leagues. So, of course, they were. We could say on paper that it was it shouldn't have been that hard as it was. They scored the first goal of the match and they held on. They were 1-0 up until the halftime. So they went to the dressing room leading.
No.
Okay. Or Bija scored in...
Bija scored in the 35th minute.
Yeah, halftime was 1-1.
No, you're right. Anyway, they did resist. And you could see if you watch the match or if you watch the highlights, you could see the tactical difference and the physical difference was way too big.
Yeah, couldn't hold on.
It wasn't with all due respect with them, because they are really hardworking people. They have their jobs and lots of things, and we have to give huge credit because they did a seriously very good match. They couldn't receive a long pass and have an easy control. The ball ran a couple of feet away from them when they tried to control physically. Sebastián Villa did a huge difference. Some other players did. Capaldo did too, and it was obvious that sooner or later, Boca was going to turn things around.
Yeah,
but it was not nice to see it. It was not nice to see the scoreboard losing by one goal to a fourth tired team.
But
these things happen. These things happen in the Copa Argentina, and Boca was lucky to escape with the win because some other teams have lost against Vélez. The most extraordinary case is Vélez losing against Real Pilar, which is a small club from the fifth division. Real Pilar scored and they held on to the lead until the end of the game, and it was a massive, massive achievement for them because it's a very young club as well. They don't even have a long history in the lower leagues, like for example Claypole has, and it's something that we see from time to time in Copa Argentina, and sooner or later was going to happen with Boca. We were lucky to escape with the win, but it must be taken like a wake up call, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
And it did. It certainly was a wake-up call because we saw something completely different
against Vélez. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let me give a minute or two to Facu. Tell me your thoughts on the match against Claypole.
Well, I think that we knew what's going to happen. We knew that the first 20 minutes are going to come out with a lot of intensity, and we knew that our players were going to be like messing around, you know, because the first divisions, they got nothing to lose. For them, it's another game. I mean, the only thing I had to say, you know, we only have 3-4 starters, you know. I mean, you said Andrada, but, you know, Javi Garcia was the keeper.
Oh, he was, yes. Yes, that is correct.
We only had Capaldo, Zambrano, Cardona, Villa, and maybe Medina starters. Then it was all subs. But we knew they were going to run out of air after the first 30 minutes. We got lucky that Villa scored 6 minutes after they scored. I would have loved to see more intensity from our players. I mean, Russo did everything that we asked him. You know, he played the young players. You know, he played Varela, Ceballos, Vasquez, Medina. So he actually did what everybody wanted. They didn't perform. Yeah. They had to settle into being in the first division. But we came out with a win, and I take it. I don't want to add any more to that. But, you know, the things that happened in the Copa Argentina, you know, this year, for example, Estudiantes lost against a fifth division team. So it happens. That's it. We won. Next round, we played a second division team. And, you know, we look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So without further ado, let's go into the match against Vélez. Boca came out 7-1 winners against Vélez. I don't think really anybody anticipated this scoreline. Boca played, I would say, fantastic game. But before I get into the game itself, let me go ahead and read the lineup. We had Andrada in goal, Capaldo, Lopez, Zambrano, and Fabra, Campuzano in midfield. Ahead of him were Villa, Medina, Cardona, Maroni, and Tevez. This, the way that this lineup, I'm actually reading it completely wrong. It's FUTMOB doesn't actually have the positions the players were in. Cardona was actually, a playmaker role. Maroni was towards the right, and Villa was actually towards the left. The way I read it was not correct. But anyways, I guess I'll take it to you, Facu. We'll go with you again. What did you make of the game? Did you expect a result like this? I'll tell you right now, I certainly didn't. But this is a big, big result ahead of, you know, a crucial week, like is the preview to the Super Clásico, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I do... I pick every week. I play with some friends to pick the results of every game, and I actually picked this game to be 1-1. I mean, Vélez is coming out from a few wins. They were playing very well. Boca was playing all right. But the funny thing about the game, if you look at the stats, you know, we only have 41% possession, and in the last play, ten games, we had possession and we played like shit. One of the things that I like about the game, first off, you know, Tevez came back, so that's a huge win for us. And I like the fact that Maroni came in. He came in very, very well. I mean, from what I picture, I think it was more of a 4-1-4-1 formation. Yeah. You know, and I actually liked that a lot. I feel like they were connecting very well. I feel like they were more free to play. 1-2 touches, you know, 1-2 and attack the goal. We're more aggressive when it comes to the passes. I think one of the things that I criticized Camposano in the last 3-4 games is that his passes were very defensive, no more attacking. So I think that once he started connected with Cardona, and then the Camposano-Cardona-Villa movement is just fascinating. And having Tevez, you know that he's going to give you the ball back to you, and it's going to be like rounded and not like square, like we call it in Argentina, is huge.
He puts a perfect weight on the ball, yeah.
Correct. And it's a pressure. You know, having Tevez is different than having Soldano or, you know, Vasquez atop. So I think it was a fantastic game. I think that Russo made very good changes. And I think it's a boost of confidence for the team, you know, coming out of a 7-1 hard field, you know, in the Amalfitani, Boca always has troubles. So it's a huge win. I mean, Maradona scored 2 goals, Villa scored 2 goals. Villa, I think, had a fantastic game. He finished 2 plays that we never expect him to finish. And he did twice. It was good. Cardona has a fantastic free kick. And the fact I like the fact that they scored on us, and 3 minutes later, we actually came back and scored again. So we didn't, like, lose our temper. You know, it's 90 minutes. You have a lot of time to play, a lot of time to win. But again, I think we have to continue doing what we're doing. I like the formation. I think we should repeat the formation like the other day. And it's a huge win. I mean, Vélez was 3-for-3. They had 9 points out of 3 games, and we won. We gave them the first defeat, and now I think we're the only team in our zone that never lost. So let's take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Fran, what were your thoughts on Sunday's game against Vélez?
Well, I think that we should take it. In Argentina, we used to say, let me Google the word. We used to say, take it with grippers. In Spanish, we should take this match with grippers. I think in United States, it's common to say take it with a bit of salt, perhaps.
Yeah. Don't take it too seriously.
Exactly. Of course, it's really wonderful to see to be in a Sunday night after a nap, after having lunch with your family. You take a nap and you wake up. You take a shower and you sit in your sofa and you see your club scoring 7 goals while you are having a burger or a pizza. It's absolutely wonderful. But at the same time, it was a very strange match. I remember the last time we won 7-1. It was against San Lorenzo in 2006 in their stadium as well, and we only shot 7 times and we scored 7 goals.
Yeah.
When things like that happen, and we didn't start losing, we were 3-0 by the halftime. When things like that happen, you must know that it's a day in which everything went well. And everything went really bad on the other side, because Emiliano Amor, the center back that was replacing the halftime from Vélez, is not that bad. He was one of the leaders of the defense after Lautaro Gianetti was sold to the MLS, the former center back that Vélez has, which was the captain of the club, and he was sold to the MLS. Amor had to replace him alongside Luis Abraham from the Peruvian national team. They are both the center backs, and they were going on quite well. Vélez had won five. Vélez was arrived to the game against Boca after winning 5 games in a row. The last game they had lost was the semifinal of the Copa Sudamericana almost 2 months ago. So they were not a very they were a very serious team to face, and to see something like that, the bad performance they had in defense and the huge spaces that Villa had to run, it's really strange. And we can't be completely sure that this is the best. Okay, this is the best of Boca. This is the best we can see from Boca. But it's not the best, nowhere near the best. It's the worst of what we can see from the opponents. So we must be very cautious. It's really good. It's really good. But we must be careful. And yeah, we must use this as a huge boost of confidence, of course, for Villa, for Maroni, who can be back. Who can turn again into the useful backup we were expecting him to be. I remember when he arrived from his loan, and he started the first 2 games until he picked an injury when football restarted after the pandemic in September with the Libertadores games. He was part of the starting 11, and we said he does things well, he could turn into a very solid and very useful backup. Okay, welcome on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you guys did an excellent job of really summarizing the game. Fran, like you said, it just everything clicked for us. And unfortunately, you know, or unfortunately for Vélez, nothing clicked for them. I think we picked them apart. Every pass from Cardona was just brilliant. He was picking apart Vélez's defense, finding Villa out wide. The one goal where it was a really long range pass from Cardona to Villa. Villa beats his man and slots the ball at the far post. I mean, just very fantastic play But, you know, like you already said, we did have a bit of fortune. On the fourth goal, which I'm actually watching right now, came out of a free kick. Vija takes a long-range shot, which hits the post, and the ball bounces literally in Maroni's feet, and Maroni has a simple task of tapping it in. So we did have that bit of fortune.
But then, Gavin, goal number five was a fantastic play. You know, Tevez goal. Number six,
I think.
Yeah. Exactly.
One,
no,
two,
no, no.
Three, four, five. Yeah, number exactly. Five from Tevez, which we had like at least six, seven mm-hmm. touches, first touches that we never do. We have people going around and like making the runs. And I think, sorry to interrupt, but I think that Vélez did not play that bad in the first 45 minutes.
No, they didn't. They had their fair amount of chances. And I'm looking at the fifth goal right now. And exactly like Facu said, it was Vija who finds Fabra out towards his left. Fabra sends in a cross and Davis taps it in. So it was a combo of both. We did have good fortune and we did have a couple of really, really nice plays. Even the sixth goal with Jara Fabra.
I went crazy with that goal.
It was a fantastic, fantastic buildup. And then Fabra finds Maroni, who once again taps it in. So we had a combo of both things. We had a bit of good fortune. And then the Campuzano goal was just ridiculous. He does a step over, completely fakes out the Vélez defender. And
the keeper.
He's not going to miss. Yeah, he's not going to. The keeper was definitely faked out as well. So it was overall a really good performance. Some really, really nice goals. One or two were with a bit of fortune. But, you know, that's what football is. You need that bit of fortune. We were just watching the reserve right now who lost a Superclásico to River. From my point of view, I think Boca had the best chances and deserved probably a win. But River ended up winning. They had that one chance on goal and they ended up taking the opportunity. Boca had, if I'm looking at the stats right now, we had 12 shots on goal, no, 12 total shots and 8 shots on target. Out of 8 shots on target, 7 went in. That's really, really uncommon. But everything just, you know, happened to click for us. Now, as we transition over to previewing the Superclásico, I know Facu already said he would play the same 11. I want to ask Fran what he would do, and then I'll go ahead. But I don't think I would play the same 11. I think I want more people running in the middle of the field, and I would probably make it a change with the right side with Capaldo and Maroni. I'd probably take Maroni out. I'd put Buffarini in at right back, and I'd put Capaldo in as right midfielder. But Fran, tell me what you would do against River.
I definitely agree with you, Gabe. I don't know why exactly Russo decided to field both Jara and Buffarini on the match against Vélez. I want to think I
because everything was working,
and I wish it is to give him some minutes towards a possible appearance on Sunday against River Plate. I was listening to the radio show. I listen every morning when they talk about sports and football, and they were talking about the same. Nicolas Capaldo, we can praise a lot his constant hard work in the midfield, the lots of kilometers or miles he runs every match, but he's simply not cool-minded, and it's not safe at all to feel him as a right back. Okay, having a Superclásico
against
ahead,
Riyad, I don't think so. Yeah.
Against one of the best players in Argentina, in my opinion, Nicolás de la Cruz, a very fast midfielder who plays as a wing, against Jorge Carrascal, the Colombian playmaker who is now lying on the left side of the field and who is playing really well. I've been watching some matches from River Plate, and they are not so safe in defense, but they are very solid in attack yet. And that's the key point. Argentinos Juniors on last Monday won in River Plate Stadium, and they neutralized the wingers. They neutralized De La Cruz on one side, they neutralized Julian Alvarez on the other one.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. Yep.
Yeah. So, guys, can I ask you guys a question? Because I don't agree with you guys. So, you're trusting Buffarini to cover De La Cruz after he was smoked?
It's not
by
that.
Everybody?
I'm trusting Buffarini with Capaldo chasing De La Cruz to neutralize
exactly.
him.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't trust Capaldo defending and then Maroni, quote unquote, chasing De La Cruz. Maroni isn't going to chase anybody. So a combo of both, I think, would do a solid job.
You would play Capaldo on the right and Buffarini behind him and Bishop on the left.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I would do. Basically, the same 11 against Vélez, but Capaldo upfield, and I would put Buffarini in a defense. You're going to need somebody to chase Carrascal the whole time, or whoever plays in that position.
Yeah,
you're going to need somebody to chase.
Carrascal is not so dynamic, for example, but De La Cruz is. De La Cruz is really one of the fastest players in Argentina. Of course, he's not as fast as Vija, but he's an extraordinary player. And I'm pretty sure he's one of the players that can grow himself playing against Boca. Same for Carrascal, who is not exactly an extraordinary player, but has been really, but has been playing quite well. And about what Facu's asked, yeah, I wouldn't exactly trust on Bufarini chasing De La Cruz, but my question answer would be, would you trust Capaldo instead?
Yeah. The question is, how many times do you think De La Cruz or Carrascal, whoever plays in that position, how many times do you think they will get past Capaldo? Certainly a couple of times, but I'd rather them going against Capaldo first than Maroni. Maroni just doesn't have the defensive work rate.
Yeah, and he will not learn. He will not learn in 2 days' time.
Yeah. No, it's just a capability
for you guys. So I would not trust Bufarini. I have PTSD when I think about Bufarini, to be honest.
That's okay. That's perfectly fine.
I'm going with a team effort.
Would you put Capaldo in that place? Capaldo in that place?
I'm thinking, right? So Boca's coming out in a fantastic win, right? And River lost to a team that lost the last four games, so they're not doing great either. Why wouldn't we trust, let's say, I'm thinking out loud, right? Capaldo, number four, and then put Visha on the right to make sure that if Visha attacks that wing, they have to play defense as well. And they're not that great at defending on the left side. So maybe we take advantage of this and we attack them instead of
we have to leave Visha up top. Leave him up top like we did against Vélez. Don't drop him down at all.
Defense. So if you force them to play defense and Visha,
yeah, they're gonna have to worry about Visha. If we keep Visha up top with Tevez, they're gonna have to worry about that. Don't drop Visha back because you're giving
them
too much advantage.
Being proactive and not us always waiting for them to attack us. Just us actually taking care of the game and attacking them and making them uncomfortable in that way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. They also have to worry about us because that's the truth. We can't just worry about them.
River has a couple of players missing in defense because Gonzalo Montiel has suffering a very strange disease, which I'm Googling the name in English now.
We have a couple of doubts too. I mean, we have
infectious mononucleosis. Mononucleosis.
Hey, mono. We call it mono here. Yeah. I got that a few times.
Okay, well, Gonzalo Montiel has just recovered from that. He will not be playing this weekend. Then Milton Casco is possibly fielding as a right back. He used to play as a left back despite he's right footed. And Fabrizio Angileri is back, the new left back of River Plate. He won the spot over Casco on the left side. Is now back, has only today, Friday or yesterday, Thursday, he rejoined training because he has been going through a very difficult situation in his family. I don't know exactly what it is, but he has been absent of training. Then they brought back David Martinez, who was on loan in Defensa y Justicia. Two months ago, the guy won the Copa Sudamericana. Then he was brought back by River Plate. River bought back half of his transfer because he was half sold from River to Defensa. He's now back. He had a very tough match against Argentinos Juniors. He's leaving the starting 11. And Jonathan Maidana could be back. He has come back as a free agent now, 1 month ago, and he could be playing. And Javier Pinola is no longer available. So Paulo Diaz and Maidana are possibly the only two available centre-backs, if I'm not forgetting anybody else, and Robert Rojas as well. But they are suffering a lot, the aerial play, okay? So that's why the other possibility was to have Capaldo as a right-back, but having the three centre-backs, Zambrano, López and Carlos Izquierdos, who seems to be quite recovered from his rib cage injury a couple of weeks ago, and the left back, which will be Frank Fabra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah, I mean
that's the other possibility.
With first we should talk about the possible injuries. Cardona is in doubt. Davis is in doubt. Izquierdos, like Fran already said, is recovering. It's not 100% known whether he'll play or not. But assuming everybody's healthy, I pray to God Davis and Cardona can play on Sunday. Otherwise, we're going to have a difficult time, in my opinion. But if everybody's healthy, there's a couple of names that we can give out who are definitely going to play. That's Andrada is definitely going to play. That's one. Capaldo is definitely going to play. with the center backs, I'm not too sure. Do you guys think Lopez is definitely going to play? I would play him. We just talked about Rivas' issues, you know, winning the ball in the air. Lopez can score. I don't know if he's certainly going to play, so I won't include him in. Fabra's definitely going to play. Campuzano's definitely going to play. If Cardona's healthy, he's definitely going to play. Davis is definitely going to play. Rivas definitely going to play. That's seven players who are absolutely going to play. Madoni's not so sure. I would probably say Medina would also play.
I doubt. I doubt once again that we can rely on an 18-year-old midfielder to play a Super Clásico.
Enough with 18-year-old Ferran. He's been growing up at Boca. He's been playing Super Clásicos through every division. You know, it's time. If he's been playing well, I think he deserves his shot in midfield.
Okay, but if he suffers a lot, okay. If Enzo Perez and Suculini or whoever plays in the midfield eats him, we can't blame him, okay?
No, again, everything is a team effort. Everything's a team effort.
Okay. Okay, it's enough. I won't say 18-year-old again.
I would play him.
I think he's going to play as well.
I think he's going to play also.
He played the last 3-4 games.
Hopefully Izquierdos is in there. I hate to say it, but probably Zambrano is also going to play. The goal from Vélez was also his fault. He left his man unmarked. He was caught ball watching. I'm not the biggest fan of Zambrano right now. I don't think any of us really are.
We can tell.
I am. I think his passes. He made a few solid passes, breaking.
Breaking lines?
Breaking lines to Cardona. If you check, 3 goals started with Camposano breaking the pass to Cardona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the two cannot do that, obviously. And he's a defender, so he should worry about defending first, which he's been slacking. I give you that. But I'm not all against him, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go with the same 11 as Vélez, except I would take out Maroni, play Capaldo in that spot, and I would put Bufarini in at right back. I would also probably go with Lopez and Izquierdos, so Izquierdos replacing Zambrano. And again, leave Villa up top. I know he played very well in the 2-2 in the Bombonera on, when was it, January 2nd? He played very well. Davis is playing well. Cardona, hopefully, you know, he's fine. He's also playing well. We all know what River is going to do. They're going to send 2 to 3 players to attack Cardona, break his ankles. We all know this. So we need people running in the middle of the field. And I mean actually running. Campuzano, Medina, Capaldo all need to run, find those spaces, and offer themselves as a receptor to Cardona to be able to escape those pockets of pressure. If we can do that, I think, you know, it's promising. It's promising for Sunday. And if Vija is on point, of course, if Davis is on point. But I think that's the key. Again, I just tweet and I study sciences. I have no idea. I don't study football professionally, but I think that that's the key to the game.
One of the things I like about Vélez game, I'm going to add it, which surprised me because I thought he was like dead, that Amendra came back. You know, I think he could be a huge asset for us in the future. He's still 21.
Yeah, he could be another option. Yeah.
So having him on the field is a huge, huge asset for us.
Yeah, he played well in the 1-0 Super Clásico, the 1-0 in September of 2019, where Rivas ended up progressing to the final. He played well that game. That's probably the best game I've ever seen from Almendra.
Let me mention something on that game, Gabe. Boca imposed over River Plate that night by winning the aerial play. That's why Emmanuel Mas hit it 5 times in their goal, in their box, and scored no goals. But that's the key, okay? River Plate has lots of virtues. Their intensity, their pressure is incredible. All their strikers are playing really well. Matias Suarez, I personally don't like him too much, but he's playing in a very good level, and he's very dangerous. So Rafael Borré is very dangerous as well. Julian Alvarez, to me, I think he will be the number 9 for Argentina.
What was that, Fran?
Julian Alvarez is the 3rd striker. My guess, he will be wearing number 9 shirt for Argentina in the Tokyo Olympics. He's an extraordinary player as well. It's impossible that at least one of them will score. Okay, We have three. They, I think they will all play. So we must be very careful because we are facing. It's a super classic one. We are facing a very, very strong team. Okay.
Yeah, apart from the rivalry, strong team, but they're not
apart
unbeatable.
From the rivalry. No, they are not unbeatable. They are not.
And they've lost two out of the last four.
And they lost against a team that lost the last four games.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they lost against Estudiantes and Argentinos.
Yeah, so I mean,
they found a way.
I think, I mean, if we are going to do this again and say how we're going to finish the game, I think that Boca is going to win, to be honest. I think that Boca is going to win or 2-0 or 2-1.
Oh, predictions? Do you want to go ahead and go with predictions before we end this?
I already did. I think that Boca is going to win 2-0 probably.
Okay, Fran, what do you think?
It will be a 1-1 draw. We can play a good match, but it will be 1-1.
I think both teams are going to score, but I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Boca. I'm inclined to, you know, because they also have a couple of missing players in defense, and if Villa is sharp, if Tevez is sharp, if Cardona, hopefully both of them play, if all three are sharp, we could. I'm inclined to saying a 3-1 win, but I think overall it's gonna be 3-1 win for Boca. But I think I'm gonna be a little more reserved on this. I think 2-1 in Boca's favor. Anything else you guys want to add before we close this out?
Nothing else for me. I was thinking about mention our women's football team is doing a very good job in the Copa Libertadores, which is currently playing now in Argentina. It's not like the traditional or men's Copa Libertadores. It's just played in two or three weeks, and it's played here in Argentina. Last night, Boca beat Avaí Kinderman from Brazil and qualified in first place, avoiding the clash in the quarterfinals against Corinthians, which is the biggest candidate by far in the tournament. Possibly they meet in the semifinals, but it's a really good campaign they are doing. They beat the Deportivo Trópico from Bolivia 10-1 in the second leg, and they draw against Santiago Morning from Chile in the first match. So the group stage was a success, and now let's send a big shout out to all the team, and let's hope to keep on moving ahead.
Corinthians scored 27 goals in 3 games.
Yes. Yes.
And nothing against.
And no goals against. Yeah, they won. They have El Nacional from Ecuador, which is a traditional club from Ecuador. They beat them 16-0.
Yeah, if we beat America, because we're playing America from Colombia, if we beat them, we're probably going to play them in semifinals.
Yes, yeah, because they are facing Santiago Morning, I think, which is the other club that went through. And now it's now they are Corinthians and Santiago Morning, I'm sure.
Corinthians, Santiago Morning, Boca America, and then they're still waiting for the other four quarterfinals.
Yes, it's played in Vélez Stadium. Boca scored 7 goals on Sunday night and scored 10 goals on Monday night for the Copa Libertadores.
Yeah,
it was in Vélez Stadium.
Yeah. All right, guys. Facu, Fran, thank you both for joining me. Anything else you want to add? Last chance.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining in. For our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.
See ya.